The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
There's a saying that goes something like, it's more useful in the long term to teach someone to grow their own food than it is to feed them. Because if they're hungry, of course you should feed them, but if you feed them and they don't know how to grow their own food, then they're going to, they're going to be hungry again for the next meal, and the next meal, and you just keep feeding them. But if you teach them how, a skill, then they can take care of themselves. So this also relates to, this idea can also relate to this inner life, Buddhist practice, your practice. And one of the interesting reflections is how to translate that saying to oneself or to one's personal life. And is it more valuable to finish all the tasks you have to do, get everything done in your to-do list, or is it more valuable to learn how to do one task with some sense of ease, being relaxed or calm, or to do it without a sense of conflict, without a lot of self-centeredness, identity, a lot of shoulds? How can you do something and be at ease about the outcome? Be at ease with what's there, as opposed to just doing a lot of things. And I think that for the inner life, both for our own inner life and that of others, learning how to be at ease with the situations of our life, that's a skill that is applicable in many different situations. Learning how to accomplish a task may or may not be helpful elsewhere. So, for example, if you have to go home and cook dinner, you could think that the purpose of cooking dinner is to get it cooked as quickly as possible, to have a successful dinner so that everyone's well fed and everyone thinks you're a great cook. And while you're cooking the dinner, you're also thinking about all the other things that have to be done. And you want to get the cooking done as quickly as you can so you can do something else. I mean, that's one valuable way of living a life. Maybe you'll get a lot done. But with that kind of agenda, you're not learning for yourself or conveying to other people how to be in this world of ours and be at ease, how to be in this world of ours and feel some kind of peace about the life we have. And perhaps in the bigger picture of things, it's actually more important to learn how to cook that meal where you're really there just for the meal, cooking for it, and be able to put aside all the long list of to-dos that you have to try to do, not doing it to get over it as quickly as you can, but really doing it because that's what you're doing in the moment. To learn how to put aside and drop all the desires and shoulds and expectations and ego that might be connected to it. Just do it in a peaceful way, to be content, to be at peace, just for that. To learn that skill with cooking dinner, that might be helpful for you in other situations in your life, to also do it where you're doing it wholeheartedly but also without any tension around what you're doing. So I think of this not so much for your sake, but it might be really important for others that you learn this. For those of you who have children, it's possible that that the most important thing you can do for them is not get the meal on the table. But in the bigger picture, the most important thing you can do for them is somehow through osmosis convey to them your sense of being at ease or at peace while you're cooking the meal. Because if you're doing the meal frantically, frustratingly, anxious about the other things that have to be done, then there's something that gets conveyed in the atmosphere, the you and the room and everything. And what you convey is not so helpful in the bigger picture. If you can convey to your children that it's okay to be at ease, it's possible to be at ease with what's here, what's needed, what's being done. It's like teaching someone to farm rather than teaching them, rather than just feeding them. And perhaps, you know, it's a simple thing around cooking a meal, but what happens when your child breaks a bone? You know, how do you take care of that? Is that the time to get frantic, anxious, upset, afraid? It's a fragile time. It's a vulnerable time when a child breaks a bone. What gets conveyed in how we respond to it? If we respond as if this is terrible, this shouldn't have happened, this is a disaster, this, you know, someone needs to be, you know, if this happened at school, oh no, these people at school are not doing their job, they're not caring for my kid, I'm going to call the principal and be upset, and you know, poor kid, and there's all these unhealthy things that can be conveyed. But what about conveying, I'm going to try to help you the best I can, and I'm not worried about this. I'm not anxious. I'm not angry. Just be at ease with it. So some of you have heard this story. When I was one of the important osmotic teachings I received from my father was when I was 14, my friend and I took the keys of his car to go for a ride, drive. And we didn't make it very far, and we only made it like a foot or two because we didn't know what we were doing. And because right next to where the car was, there was parked a bulldozer. And we managed to kind of get the car kind of going and kind of jerked, and it ran right into the bulldozer. The bulldozer was okay. And so I felt pretty bad, you know. Here we're doing something we weren't supposed to do. We didn't have a driver's license or anything, you know. We didn't have permission. And going for a joyride in my dad's car, and we crash it. So I called him up at work and said, Dad, you know, this is what happened. And he said to me, just in a very relaxed way, he said, oh, can the car still drive? And I said, oh yeah, the car still drives, but you can't open the right-hand door anymore. And he said, see what you can do about it. I'll be home this evening. And I never heard anything more about it ever. And the fact that he held it so, you know, it was, of course, it was unfortunate, but there was no anger, there was no shame. It was just like he held it with his ease, or this non, without a sense of conflict, without a sense of, and I think he could do it because I felt remorse, and he could feel in my voice, you know, I'd confessed, that was felt, and I, you know, I felt pretty bad about what happened. So he didn't need to be angry with me. And there was no, you know, it was an unfortunate thing that happened. What does it help to be angry or frustrated or afraid or... But rather he held it with ease. And he you know, try and convey, taking care of it the best you can, fix it. So how do we learn how to live a responsible life, to meet life as it requires us to take care of it, and to be at ease with how things are, not to be anxious about it or not to be in conflict with it? And it gets even more dramatic, that skill, when things do go wrong, when we fail. And perhaps how can we stay relaxed, at ease, when we make a mistake? When things do kind of go in a way we don't want them to go. Is there something, a very kind of fundamental skill or capacity that we can learn about not getting activated with anxiety or anger or fear or not get activated by issues of self-identity, self-image, and in doing that kind of convey to ourselves, to our own heart and to others perhaps, a way of going through our life with greater ease, even when things themselves are not easy to take care of. And I think this is one of the tasks and challenges of Buddhist practice. It's not about what you do, but how you are as you do it. And if you can learn something about how, where you can be at peace with how things are, then hopefully, no matter where you go, you can carry that with you. So I hope that when you come to Buddhist practice, we're not feeding you. We're teaching you how to farm. So, thank you.